This is Dylan.
This is Nick. And you're listening to
Colloquium, Colloquium.
All right, fantastic. I think we're ready to rock and roll. Okay. Let's do this thing. Let's do this hockey, as Laszlo Holmes says. Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
No idea what words you just said.
I haven't shown this to you. So Chance the Rapper does this bit on SNL.
Yes, I have seen that.
He plays a reporter named Laszlo Holmes. He's normally a basketball reporter.
That's pretty funny.
But he goes to a hockey game. He's like has to fill in for a hockey game, and he knows nothing about hockey. And so like his catchphrase is "Let's do that hockey." But he's just complaining about how he's cold all the time. No, he's like, I'm just very, very cold. Like, are you cold? You'd interview the hockey players. He's like, let me ask you, are you cold?
I've never seen that SNL bit. I'll have to
It's good. It's worth it. Look it up. Well, we are here, and it's very good to have a special guest with us today. D-Stad, as we call him. Why is that funny?
Well, I just thought it was funny, D-Stad. I'm just laughing to fill the silence.
Good job. I'm being completely honest. But. You are a podcast pro already. You know what to do.
Yep.
But yeah, Nick's here. I'm here. And D-Stad, Daniel Stadler, is here. I have a special guest today because we're going to talk about a special topic that of which he is an expert-ish. So.
More of an expert than you. Just kidding. <Yeah.
laughs> But Nick, you want to jump in and say something, then we can introduce our friend Daniel?
Sure. Hey, I'm here. Happy Saturday.
Great. All right, that's Nick. You heard him. But no, we call him D-Stad because we have too many friends named Daniel. So we met this Daniel. That wasn't going to work. It just was very clear right away that it just was not going to work. I mean, because we already had a Dan. We already had a Daniel. We already had a Danny. We just ran out of variations of the name Daniel. So fortunately, can I say your last name?
Yeah.
Okay. I just didn't know if you had a privacy thing, you know.
Nah.
But his last name is Stadler. So D-Stad became how we dubbed him. So we have thus dubbed the D-Stad. All right, D-Stad. So we're talking about, did I say what we're talking about? But they know. They've looked at the title. I always do this. They've looked at the title. They know what we're talking about. Boxing or combat sports. So Daniel, we have him on because he has experience with boxing, actually. And I've talked a little bit off the air with D-Stad about this and actually had some good things to say about the morality or lack thereof of the sport of boxing and combat sports in general. So Daniel, why don't you just start by telling us a little bit about yourself, maybe a little bit about your experience with boxing, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So so like Dylan said, my name is Daniel Stadler. I just graduated from the University of Alabama in December and moved out here to Huntsville, Rocket City, Roll Tide, and at the end of February. So been enjoying it out here, been meeting a lot of really cool people. Dylan and Nick are all right, you know, but
yeah, you don't have to include us in that.
Yeah. But yeah, so as far as my experience with boxing, I started boxing competitively, it was a couple of years ago. We have a club boxing team, at the University of Alabama. And so starting spring of 2019, so I guess that would be 3 years ago at this point, we have an event at UA where all these different clubs come out on campus and set up shop at the student center and just try to get people to join their clubs. And I was looking to do something that was just way out of my comfort zone, something I had never done before. When I was in high school, I did track and cross country, and that was about my only experience with competitive sports. And so I was like, why not try boxing? And there was a boxing club on campus. And the boxing club, I mean, pretty much for all intents and purposes, was just a fitness club. You know, people would show up a couple times a week. We'd hit the heavy bag, just get like a cardio workout in. Mm-hmm. But the first time I met the captain of the club, I was like, do y'all actually like go to fights and spar and compete? And he's like, well, there's like a small group of us that do. You have to try out for the team. Once you're in the club for about a semester, you can try out for the team and then start competing if you make the team. So I joined spring of 2019. I was in the club for a semester, learned all the basics of boxing form and technique and whatnot. And then I tried out for the boxing team in the fall. So fall 2019, went and tried out. We were affiliated with a boxing gym out in Birmingham called Round One Boxing. So shout out to Round One. It's a pretty cool place to go and train.
Folks at Round One.
Yeah.
Great people.
Yeah.
I don't know.
but yeah, that was definitely a really cool place to learn how to box and got to meet a lot of cool people. And so I was in the club for the fall semester, trained all fall semester, and then spring of 2020, we had a bunch of fights lined up, but then this little thing called COVID happened. You may have heard of it, and we got to one tournament in the spring, and then the rest of them got canceled. And then after that, I stayed on the team. I helped people in the club train and learn the sport, but by then, I was getting close to the end of my college career, and that was kind of my extent with it. Yeah. But boxed competitively for about a year and had a great time with it.
So how many fights did you have?
I only had one amateur fight. But I mean, as far as like, you know, I did spar against a lot of quite a few professional boxers, at the gym. And so I mean, as far as number of times that I've gotten in the ring is quite a few.
Yeah,
but registered fights, I only made it to one, unfortunately.
Okay.
But,
yeah. Fantastic. All right. Well, we obviously have you here because we think that boxing is a sin and we want to convert you. So thank you for sharing that so openly now that we can just shame you. No, I kid. I kid, but only partly, right, Nick?
Yeah, I actually have several thoughts on that. So we'll get going here shortly.
Yeah, so I think Nick and I, this is kind of in the realm of our hot takes on moral issues, but I don't know where I stand completely. But I have often pondered this question and at times come to the conclusion that combat sports, whether it's boxing or UFC or MMA, whatever it is, right, can be morally questionable. So I want to start with kind of addressing that, like where's kind of the history, I guess all three of us, the history of our thinking on this. And because I think that's going to kind of shape where our conversation goes. So Nick, why don't you start? Give me a little. What are your thoughts in general about the morality? How have you considered this? What things have you considered?
Yeah, sure. So I think I would say I haven't delved into it very deeply. I haven't really thought much at all about the morality of certain combat sports like Taekwondo or karate or. Really, I haven't thought much about boxing in general as a moral question. I think where it came to the forefront of my mind most recently was in my encounters with UFC. Mm-hmm. There's several people that I know, or at least a few, that make it an event to go watch the fights at a
UFC Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Is that what it's called? Is that what it stands for? Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Just the mixed martial arts style, of fighting. Yeah, anyway, I just have several people in my life that go to the bar and watch a fight, get together. And just the culture surrounding it and the type of fighting and the way that the fighters act and just that whole thing has made me just think about calling into question whether or not that's an inherently immoral thing. So that's just a question that has come into my mind that I don't know that I have a straightforward opinion on at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's kind of the same for me. So I kind of first encountered the question in college when I had a similar situation. I had some buddies in college who were getting really into UFC, and we'd go on like whatever night it was for fight nights at Buffalo Wild Wings, and they'd have all the fights on the big screen, and I loved it. Mainly, I loved beer and wings, but and going out with my friends. I really didn't get that into the fighting. It was mildly entertaining, but while we would be there, hanging out, I was generally more interested in the beer and the wings. But as I was watching, there's just something felt wrong about it, and it was something I pondered. I'm a deep thinker, and so I take these things and I kind of came to the conclusion. I'm like, yeah, it bothered my conscience being there, to be honest, and. I think it comes down to, and this is something we'll get into, is the specifics of why that's the case, or, what is it about it that maybe could bother the conscience? I think it has something to do with, one, just the object of it, to hurt somebody else, and I know that's potentially disputed, and rightly so. I've heard good arguments that that's often not the intention. And then also just the damage that it actually does, like the fact that somebody could be knocked out in a boxing competition or have permanent brain damage, et cetera, right? All those things kind of rub me the wrong way. Now, I will say, my opinion on this has changed over time. That was kind of how I was in college. I had the experience post-college when I was out in Colorado of making good friends, became a good friends with someone who was a fighter. He's an Olympic-style fighter. And just a genuine, genuine guy. Very likable, very happy-go-lucky, very devout Catholic. His name's John. I don't know if I should say that, but he's kind of private about some things, but he doesn't listen. No, I'm not going to reveal too much. But John is kind of one of those things, Nick, where I know you've said about tattoos before, like one of the reasons you like are okay with tattoos is that you know people you trust who have them. Right. And that's kind of what John was for me. Right. Like he was a fighter and I had mad respect for him. And I had some good conversations with him about it. And I'll probably bring him up again when we get into some of the issues, because I have had some specific conversations with him about this regarding the morality of it and kind of his approach to that. But he kind of made me more open to the idea of combat sports as a potentially moral good. So that's where I'm at. I think because of those kind of two experiences, I think I'm somewhat agnostic on the issue. But I'm interested to see where this conversation goes.
Yeah.
What about you, D-Stat? And what's your have you considered? Obviously, like you've participated. Have you considered the question of its morality?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I was first thinking about joining the boxing club, when I was first doing it on campus, and I was thinking about potentially fighting, I think the thought definitely crossed my mind. Like, obviously, there's the potential here for me to put myself in harm's way. Mm-hmm. And is that worth it?
Your mom loved it too.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, it was honestly kind of funny. When I first joined the club, I was calling my parents one day. I was like driving home from school or something. And I was like, hey, so I'm joining the boxing club. And both my parents burst out laughing and they were like, what? And I was like, no, I'm serious. Like I bought my gloves and my hand wraps and they were like, holy crap, he's serious. My mom definitely never liked it. But the funny thing was once I had my my fight or whatever, it was videotaped and I showed it to my parents and they thought it was the coolest thing ever. They were like, holy crap, look at you. You're like going at it. So I mean, I've definitely thought about the fact that there is potential for harm. And to be honest, I don't know if I ever considered the morality of it when I joined, because I never thought of it as an immoral or bad thing. I met, you know, to your point about your friend who was a fighter, like I met a really cool community through the boxing mm-hmm. club. And so what I saw was like, you know, a bunch of people coming together and pushing themselves to be better than they were yesterday. And I was really attracted to that. And so yes, the you know, there is the potential to inflict harm on others or inflict harm on yourself in certain situations. But when we were training, I feel like we were pretty good about mitigating that, you know, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where I stood on it. But really, I looked at boxing, you know, less as a moral dilemma and more as an opportunity to challenge myself to do something that I'd never done before.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I think there's some tremendous goods in boxing and combat sports in general that have to be recognized, right? That something could still, there's, you know, with the nature of human will, like we seek the good, right? So good can be found, good intentions can be found in evil actions, right? So that's true, but it's also important to recognize those goods. I think it's also important, you know, we talk about boxing, combat sports, we've thrown these words out there too. Kind of define our terms, because combat sports, if we say combat sports generally, right, can range from anything from karate to jiu-jitsu to wrestling to boxing, right? And these, I think, range in the intention of the sport, and there's just a wide variation of these sports. My brother does jiu-jitsu, right? But I think in terms of like health risk, jiu-jitsu or wrestling is very different than maybe boxing or UFC. Maybe let's define our terms a little bit. What is a combat sport? I mean, if I say combat sport, what do we think of generally?
Yeah, I'll start us off, I suppose. I guess a combat sport for me would just be a sport that involves fighting another person.
Okay.
That would be my general definition. Doesn't have to be necessarily about trying to hurt them or anything of that kind. Just involving fighting another person.
And I think with that definition, I think I could easily come down on the side of, within combat sports, there are some that are, well, one, far less dangerous than others, right? And some that, within that definition, I think some form, unless the act of actually fighting another person in sport is wrong, which we'll get into, some could be, you know, potentially immoral and some could be morally illicit. I think within that definition, it seems fair. So let's maybe leave it at that, combat sports in general, and then we can kind of talk about distinctions between different combat sports. And I know, Daniel, you'll have some things to share on that. So let's look at kind of the first kind of aspect of that then, the nature of the sport. So combat sports, the nature, the intention of the sport is to, you're fighting someone, right? Is that a bad intention? Is that something that should be done in sport? That's the first question addressed, I think.
Yeah.
What do y'all think?
Well, you want me to start or you want to start? Okay, yeah. So, you know, I would say that when you look at sports, like, you know, in my experiences with boxing, so I don't know as much about MMA or wrestling or jiu-jitsu, but I do know that across the board, all of these different fighting sports have a point system. You know, so for example, in wrestling, you know, pinning someone on the ground is worth a certain number of points. You know, turning them to a certain side is worth another, you know, set of points. And when you really break down the technique of a sport like that, it gets down to the, you know, the technical aspects of form and the movements, and it's really about scoring more points than the other person. And the same is true for boxing. You know, and for somebody who isn't, may not necessarily be trained on the, you know, the technique of the sport, if you turn on TV and you just watch two people slugging it around, it's just going to look like a dog fight, right? But the truth is that there is a lot of form and technique that goes into the sport, and really on paper, the goal is to land more punches than the other person. And, punches on, you know, the upper part of the body, the head, the chest, the, you know, abdominum area, they're worth different amounts of points. And, you know, you have judges that you may not see around the ring, and what they're doing is they're keeping track of punches landed, punches blocked, whatnot. And if a fight goes to a decision, that's what it comes down to, is who scored more points than the other person, you know, over the course of the fight. When you look at like Olympic boxing, that's, I mean, really what Olympic boxing comes down to. So when I look at combat sports from that perspective, I don't think that fighting another person, that being the primary goal of the sport, is wrong, because it's almost like a game of chess. It's an art form,
right?
You know, and I think it's something that can actually be very, very appreciated.
Right. And I think of wrestling as kind of a prime example, because I think there are other forms that maybe get more dicey, due to the nature of what happens when you punch somebody in the head, for example. But wrestling is like a sport. It's you say art, like it's very technique driven. Like the object, like as I understand, is you pin somebody, right? Which isn't doing immediate bodily harm to them. Jiu-jitsu is similar. Like I think from what my brothers told me about jiu-jitsu, like you want to get them to the point of submission, right? To where they can't not retaliate, they can't kind of defend themselves at that point. And then that you tap out, right? You tap out in a lot of these sports as well before it gets to that point of serious harm, right? So I think there's definitely a good argument in a lot of these combat sports that it's not, the point is not to seriously maim somebody, with maybe some exceptions. But the other thing to consider, Nick, I think you put a good question, is like, and I think this is worth at least asking the question. But you talk about nonviolence, right? And is violence, a sport that is so focused on like violence? You ask the question of, is nonviolence an essential aspect of the Christian life? And if so, is there something about making like the object of a sport inherently violent or harming another, right? Is something about that, does that break a Christian principle essentially?
Oh my. So
and that might be that might be a bigger question than we can chew.
Yeah, so there's a couple different distinctions that need to be made to that question of like, is a sport, it's still about what the primary goal of the sport is, I think. You know, cuz soccer is violent, for example, in a certain sense. Like, I can put my shoulder into another player legally. Yeah. Football is definitely violent.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's not necessarily combat sports where this question is raised, whether or not we should practice quote-unquote violence. And I think, too, yes, you know, these different sports have different degrees of violence. That's another thing to consider. But once we get start, you know, to talking about how much is too much violence, et cetera, I don't know that we can come up with a good answer. So anyway, the question I think is framed appropriately. You know, is it okay to be violent at all in any setting, specifically sports? Just from experience, the answer to that seems to be yes. It seems to be okay to be violent in a certain sense in a sport in order to achieve a goal that is not violence in and of itself. I can't think right now. I'm just thinking, I cannot think of one combat sport in particular where the goal is to inflict pain upon your opponent. Like, in order to achieve the goal in all of these sports, you probably will have to inflict pain on the opponent. But pain is never the goal. I think that's all about the intention of the person that's playing the combat sport, which we'll get into a little bit later. But I think the answer, that was a roundabout way of saying, violence seems to be okay in some sense. I can't tell you why theologically, it seems to be okay.
I think I ultimately agree. I think at first glance, I think there's an answer to answer. I think it can be appealing to say, oh, well, you know, nonviolence is an aspect of the way of Christ, right? And when do we permit violence? Like, just war, right? But, like, that's, like, defeating an evil, right? Like, just war theory is very particular about the circumstances under which you can go to war even, right? And so that's permitted violence, but it's to kind of right a wrong, essentially. And what you have in combat sports is there's no wrong. You're just kind of doing it for the fun of it, for the sport of it. Now, so that's kind of the first kind of, I can see that argument. However, I do think that there's a lot of virtue to be gained from that, right? And the reality is we are born into a battle of sorts, right? And, you know, I think of like The Wild at Heart, you know, is a book about Christian book about masculinity. And it talks about how, like, there's something in the masculine heart. There's a reason why we're drawn to sports and sometimes even violent sports, right? Because it trains us for a spiritual battle, right? So I do think that there's something in which when you step into a ring against another person, your intention is not to do bodily harm to this person, but your intention is to essentially train. Right? It's not about the sport. I think in any sport, right, you can idolize it. You can make it about the sport. When in reality, like, sports are a training ground for life. So I think from that perspective, I don't have an issue with a sport being violent. I think my issue would more be with if the bodily harm that's done to it is too excessive. I think it would become imprudent. But I'm okay with that. Yeah, I don't think that violence makes a sport immoral. Would you agree, Dan?
Yeah, I would agree, Dylan. You know, it's funny, looking at this question, the first thing that I thought of is nonviolence, an essential aspect of the Christian life. You know, didn't Jesus go into the temple when all the, like, merchants were set up and got enraged and upturned all the tables, kicked everyone out? Now, obviously, that was justified, right? Mm-hmm. So I think in some aspects, you know, like, anger is not a negative emotion if it's seeking some kind of justice. If we let that fester, it can become resentment, toxic, and that's when it becomes bad. So I think to kind of echo what Nick said earlier, it really comes down to personal intent and the level of violence or aggression that you bring to a you know, certain environment.
Yeah.
So
I think if we're looking at, like, the three components, and Nick, I'll let you jump in here in a minute. If we're looking at three components of moral action in Catholic moral theology, object, intention, circumstances, all three have to be good for something to be a morally good action. it seems that we're kind of trending towards object is not bad. The object is fine, is good. So if there's any immorality to a combat sport, it would come in the intention and the circumstances. And both the intention and mainly the circumstances are going to depend on the sport, which I think will kind of lead us into the second part of the question. But Nick, go ahead.
Yeah, that's actually really helpful, Dylan, especially with regard to the intent. It seems as though combat sports different from other sports, it's easier to skew the intent to be sinful in combat sports than in other sports. So like, for example, in soccer, I'm a soccer player, that's why I bring that up. It seems like translating soccer to my goal is to hurt somebody is harder to do than
right.
boxing,
yeah.
where you can, it yeah. seems like you can translate that a lot more mm-hmm. quickly to my goal is to hurt somebody.
Yeah.
So I think maybe it's just more of a danger in combat sports to have yeah. a sinful intent than it is in other sports.
I think that's certainly true, yeah.
Yeah, that's something to consider.
Yeah.
I also wonder, too, if, just kind of a question that came to my mind is, if you could achieve the virtues and the good qualities of combat sports that you were trying to achieve in another sport as effectively, would we be obligated to choose a non-combat sport to achieve those yeah. virtues? That's an interesting question to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. And maybe the answer is yes, but I think I want to get into the distinctions between the sports first, right? Distinctions between what are the potential risks of combat sports? And then we can maybe circle back to that question and say, what then does that leave us? What choice do we have morally to make with regard to the sports we play? So I know Daniel, and kind of getting into this question on, the consequences of the sport or the circumstances. You made a distinction between professional and amateur boxing, and mm-hmm. there's a significant difference in kind of how these are and what happens. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, sure. So, I think when a lot of people think of boxing, when I tell people like, oh yeah, I box competitively, the first thing they think of is, when they, watch the heavyweight world championship on TV, because that's about the only mm-hmm. thing we've seen, right? And yeah. The thing that it would be, ignorant to not recognize is that the reason that professional boxing is so widespread and you have these fight nights and is because it makes money. And mm-hmm. the entertainment value of the knockout mm-hmm. is something that is monetized. Mm-hmm. So I think when you look at the organizations that put on these events, the production companies that tell their competitors, hey, say X, Y, and Z in the press conference because it's going to create controversy. Those kinds mm-hmm. of things happen, and it almost becomes a staged act when yeah. you get to the professional level of boxing. It is different, but I would almost compare, and some people may disagree with this, that when you're watching professional boxing, it's almost like watching WWE but you are actually hurting each other.
Right. Yeah.
Less
staged than yes. professional wrestling.
But there's
an element of being staged
too. Right. Yeah. Like there's been professional boxers that have gone on TV before and said things about how, they're not gonna hold back, and if his life ends, whatever. And I think that is awful. Yeah. I think that makes a really bad name for the sport when yeah. When people get on TV and say that kind of stuff. That being said, I don't think that makes that doesn't say that the sport itself is immoral. Yeah. That says that the people that are exploiting the sport yeah. and the competitors of it are immoral.
Yeah.
Now when we look at amateur boxing, you typically wear different sized gloves, you have protective headgear that you wear, mm-hmm. And the rounds are shorter and there are less rounds. A sanctioned amateur boxing match, so a boxing match that's sanctioned by USA Boxing, is 3 2-minute rounds. A professional bout is 12 3-minute rounds. So you're talking oh, wow. about a 40 yeah. minute fight versus a 6-minute fight.
Yeah.
So completely different.
Yeah.
There's also different rules between professional and amateur boxing around where the match is actually cut, because the ref's job, really on paper, is to make sure that nobody gets hurt. I mean, that's really what the ref's job should be. Right. If you watch professional boxing, that doesn't happen. Right. you know, like if it's going to go to a knockout, they're going to let him go to a knockout.
Yeah.
There's actually rules. When if you watch an amateur bout, a ref is constantly looking at, you know, how each fighter is reacting to the other fighter's hits. And if there comes a point where a boxer, you know, his head gets cocked back, it's an automatic 8 count. What that means is that two fighters have to go back to their corners. The boxer or the ref is going to assess the boxer that was hit, make sure, you know, are his eyes glazed over? Is he responding well? You know, is he still with it? And then they let the, you know, the fight continue. If there's more, I forget the exact number, but if it's, if there's more than 3 or 4 8 counts in a fight, the fight just ends. It'll be called a technical knockout. Done. Yeah.
Right.
If there's more than 2 in a single round, I think it ends. And so I've seen that happen before. I've seen amateur boxing matches get cut 30, 40 seconds into the fight because it was just, you know, it was obvious who, what was going to happen, and they're not going to let a 16-year-old get knocked out.
Right.
When you get to the professional level, that does not happen. There's no such
thing. It's really interesting. So, I was reading about Olympic fighting, and there's like 5 different Olympic style fight or Olympic sports, combat sports. And I was reading about the rules of the box of boxing in the Olympics. And one of them is, like a player loses or is considered knocked out if the doctor intervenes.
Yep.
But if you think about that, right? Like, what are you going to, if the doctor intervening makes you lose, you're not going to let the doctor intervene, right? Like, you're going to do whatever you can to appear okay. Like, and that's what you see, right? You see that they're totally all out, like, seems like total disregard for their health. And I think this is what we think of when we think of boxing, right? That's a great, great point. Because, I think of, you know, people with, you know, who've boxed their whole life with long-term, you know, medical brain damage, all these things. And I think of, you know, somebody totally bloodied up, taking just shot after shot to the head. And that can be a very different thing than a lot of the combat sports in which your average person engages in. So I think that's worth noting. I will say, you know, one of the things my friend John said that has always stuck with me. I'll never forget this. I was talking with him about, you know, just kind of the risks associated with this sport. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, I'm probably done in about 2 years. It's like, what do you mean? You're like 22 years old. Like, he's like, well, I want to eat my own soup when I'm older. And he went on about, you know, how like people who fight into their 30s and their 40s at this high level, end up with serious permanent lasting damage. And that's something, he's, you know, I think he's within a year or so of retiring from the sport. He's been competing at a very high level. And it just, that to me, it's like, why would you participate in a sport? But at the same time, I see, you know, a guy in John who is aware of that and is participating in a way that is conscious of the health risk, and he's stopping, right? He's clearly not idolizing this sport. He's clearly not disregarding his health. Actually, he's taking into the health of, you know, him and his future family and all these things in the way that he goes about this sport. So there seems to be, and that's one of the things that's made me kind of come around to the idea of it, is, you know, at least in his example, there's a way to do this, which is responsible, potentially.
Yeah. Yeah, that all that info shines a huge light on it for me that, you know, it's really the immorality of boxing and these combat sports come primarily through the, you know, personal intent and the circumstances surrounding, you know, the rules and regulations and how it's dealt with outside of the actual intent of the sport. So, I think of in particular when you were talking about your friend retiring, I think in particular this happened, you know, pretty recently in the sport of football, actually. I don't know if you guys remember Calvin Johnson, like the really famous wide receiver in the NFL, who retired like in the prime of his career.
Yeah.
One of the great receivers of all time. I think he retired like my age, like 29 or like 30, something crazy like that.
Yeah.
It was shocking because the primary reason was because he didn't want to like have health issues when he was older.
Yeah.
I think that was the prime reason. So, that was an example I can think of like just being personally responsible in a sport that's not inherently immoral.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do believe that we have a serious obligation to, you know, as Christians who believe that our body is a gift from the Lord and temple of the Holy Spirit, to take care of it. Right. And I do believe that there's a way of engaging in these sports, especially these more violent sports, even football, of being a bad steward of the body that the Lord's given you. And, you know, I had a professor in college, actually, who we were talking about the idea of moral disengagement, which is where you, like, set your morals aside to participate in something. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'll never forget this, he said, I'm morally disengaged to watch football.
Yeah. That's interesting.
And I kind of agree with the sentiment there. Like, I do, like, there is immense risk, especially as somebody who's had two concussions with long-term consequences, like, to expose yourself to especially certain positions in football that are very high risk for head injuries. Like, that's a serious risk you're taking on. And I think that's very, a very admirable thing of Calvin Johnson to be aware of that and to moderate those risks in that way. So, yeah, I think that's ultimately where this question comes down to, right? Is it wrong to participate in a sport then if there's a very, very high risk of long-term health consequences? I think that's kind of what this comes down to for me with boxing or other combat sports.
Yeah, I mean, I think with any sport that incurs physical contact, you run the risk of, you know, having to cut your career short at some point to, you know, for the sake of your own health, whether that's mental or physical. Mm-hmm. It's easier to see that more clearly in boxing when you're punching each other rather than, you know, tackling each other to, you know, score a touchdown or whatever. But I mean, when we do look at, you know, statistically speaking, the health risks associated with boxing and combat sports and football and rugby, and I think you have a higher risk of, you know, having some kind of injury in things like horseback riding or mm-hmm. you know, football and rugby than you do in boxing. Mm-hmm. I will say that, like, you know, that I think that the ultimate consequences that you see in a sport like boxing are probably greater than football or rugby, but to me that is at the highest level of the sport.
Sure,
yeah. i.e. professional boxing. Mm-hmm. I've met multiple, you know, boxers that had, you know, 20-year amateur careers and yeah. they're fine.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I think it's when you get to the level where you're not wearing headgear anymore, the goal of the fight is to go to a knockout,
right,
where you start seeing you know, these long term
yeah.
health effects. So for the people on TV that you know, and I guess this is something else to be aware of, is that, you know, when you look at, like, the top you know, professional boxers, so, like, you know, I'm sure we've all heard of, like, Floyd Mayweather, for example. That man's had, like, 40 professional fights.
Yeah.
That's a lot of professional fights. Wow. I would say that, mm-hmm. you know, your average professional boxer maybe has, like, 20 at the most.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more than that. Yeah. It depends on how good they are. But when you get to that professional level, I would say most professional boxers probably had between 200 and 300 amateur fights before mm-hmm. they made it to the professional level. So when you talk about the extent of a total career, I mean,
yeah.
you're looking at years and years and years and years and years of fighting leading up to a, you know, a professional career. And
yeah.
honestly, most of the damage that's done, I would say, right. is in your professional career.
Yeah.
So, and I think the other thing we also have to think about is, even at the professional level, when we talk about the term knockout, mm-hmm. We use knockout, you know, when the fight is called for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily mean that somebody loses consciousness, mm-hmm. you know. If they were knocked to the ground, if they were deemed by the ref unable to continue, then yes, it's a knockout, but that doesn't mm-hmm. always necessarily
sure.
mean loss of consciousness.
Yeah.
I know that gets into the technicalities of
yeah.
it, but I would say, I mean, honestly, you know, when you watch professional boxing, I would honestly say there's very few fights where you see somebody out cold for longer than, you know, say a minute, right? That doesn't make it okay.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about the adverse health effects of boxing, personally, I think for the average, you know, person that competes in competitive boxing, it's, to me, not any more concerning than what we would see in a game of football.
Yeah. That's really helpful, honestly. And I think my opinion's being shaped on this. So I think we can share where we're at the end.
Yeah, but this is fascinating. I actually think I'm being strengthened a little bit in my opinion of like professional televised combat sports.
Yeah.
Just because like the conversation that we're having seems to be like, yeah, the essence of the sport seems to be okay as long as the personal intent is there. But the televised version of these sports like make the spectacle about the sin.
Yeah.
It seems like they make it about the knockouts and the, you know, this guy's going to hurt this guy and like he doesn't mind if that, you know, this guy gets, you know, killed or whatever. And like another example I'm thinking about is one of the things that UFC does to make it more of a spectacle. They've got like women in bikinis like at these events. It's like, what are they doing here?
Yeah.
You know, like what is, surely that's not about the sport, you know, like so. Yeah.
Yeah, bikinis.
So, I mean, whatever they are, it looks like anyway.
They're scantily clad.
Let's not
they're
even,
not wearing bikinis.
No, straight up. Listen, I'm telling you. Anyway, doesn't matter. Let's not go there. But
yeah,
like
no, one of my buddies is really into to the female UFC in particular. Ronda Rousey was really big, and he loves.
No, her, no. So. I'm not talking about female fighters. I'm talking about women who are just there.
The ones who
like, okay, holding up the round guards.
I thought you were saying the fighters.
No,
bikinis. Yeah. I like there's no way.
Three and they bring out.
Okay, yeah, no, you're right.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, what are they wearing that for? Anyway, so my point is, I think I'm being strengthened in the idea of like, and I think the question that's going to be most relevant to our listeners here is not whether or not it's okay to actually perform the sport of boxing. Or like perform these combat sports. The I think maybe the more relevant question for our listeners is it okay to watch these spectacleized versions of these sports? So maybe that's a different question. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well. I was just gonna go ahead. I'll let you go.
Well, I was just gonna say
you got to move closer to the mic.
Okay. I do have a couple comments on that. You know, talking about like the organizations that put on these events and that being like, you know, where the hang up is versus the actual sport itself. You know, and like, so for example, you know, one of the big, you know, governing bodies for MMA is UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship. There's actually multiple professional organizations that put on MMA matches and they all get aired on ESPN, but you've never heard of them because UFC is the biggest. Mm-hmm. And the reason UFC is the biggest is probably because it's the most violent. And there's actually been multiple UFC fighters that have come out and left the UFC because it's just such a like debilitating environment. Yeah. And to be honest, I don't follow the UFC very closely. I don't follow many other professional MMA organizations very closely, but I would be interested in looking at like, what are other professional boxing organizations or professional MMA organizations doing with their bouts that could be different from, you know, professional boxing titles or the UFC? Because maybe that's a way that like you can still partake in, you know, viewing a sport like that without the, you know, I guess the immoral implication of it.
Yeah. But. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I think ultimately the question comes down to like, where do we draw the line? And is it, you know, is it at UFC? Is it at professional boxing? Is it at, you know, because there's all sorts of variations of combat sports too. I keep thinking it's hard because like I think I'm ultimately coming down to the opinion, kind of like Nick, you were saying, is of, yeah, I don't think I think it's right to support UFC professional boxing. Like this is clearly making a spectacle of sin, right? And but at the same time, there's like part of me, it's like I remember when Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather had a like major fight. It was was it Pacquiao's last fight, I think, or
I believe it was. I want to say it was almost like a like an exhibition round.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't for a title or anything, but it was like just these two guys in the same weight class that were like the most, you know, epic decorated.
Yeah. And they had never fought before.
They had never fought. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, it was such a big deal. I was in college at the time and I was like, there's something like, there is kind of a sense in which it sounds weird, but like boxing kind of can feel like when you think of like those classic matchups of like a gentleman's sport, almost like there's a prestige and esteem to it of like everybody knows Muhammad Ali, right? Everybody has respect for him. Like Manny Pacquiao is a Christian. Like I remember him talking about his faith and everything. Like part of me wants to be like, yeah, like
he's a politician in the Philippines. Fun fact.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, He's also like one of the richest athletes in the world.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I just, part of me wants to like it just has this like pull to that. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't think I want to support professional boxing.
So okay, maybe a distinction here. So we dramatize sports all the time. So, and I think that's a good thing. Like, so for example, in the NBA, you know, there's all of this talk about like, you know, I have this, like this, one of the most memorable sporting experiences in my life was watching, you know, LeBron win a title for the Cavaliers, you know, in the NBA. It's very dramatized, like comes back to his hometown, like, you know, gives his, you know, like city a title they haven't had in 50 years or whatever. Like that is a very, like the media was dramatizing that for sure. And that's it's fine. It's a good thing. Like same thing with Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather, like dramatizing the matchup is a good and fine thing. Like that creates another way to be engaged in that form of sport. Mm-hmm. I think the what we're trying to poke at is when that sport is like focusing on the sin and spectacularizing the sin, mm-hmm. like not the drama tie, like the drama of the matchup itself. Does that make sense? What I've said.
So are those classic fights of Pacquiao versus Mayweather?
And I would
dramatizing
argue
dramatizing the sin.
I would argue that they're dramatized, but I don't know if you are dramatizing the sin in that sense. And the reason I say that is because when we look at like, so anytime Floyd Mayweather has a fight, Floyd Mayweather fights under Mayweather Productions. It's a, mm-hmm. you know, company that his gym puts on out of, you know, LA or wherever mm-hmm. they're based out of. And he's got a booking agent that determines who he's going to fight, you know, every couple mm-hmm. of months or whatever. And 90% of the time, when you have someone who's a title holder, you're going to set up bouts that you know they're going to win.
Yeah.
So you build up this big event, you basically it's an opportunity for a younger fighter to come up and they're gonna get paid to get their butt kicked,
right?
But yeah. And that's
like
really
when people get paid to play Alabama in football
basically that's a good way to yeah, that week before, you know, the Iron Bowl when we play yeah. like the Citadel or whatever,
Samford Bow Wow Bulldogs.
Oh man. But you know, in that sense, like here's somebody coming in knowing that they're probably gonna get knocked out, they're gonna, you know, the person's going to get harmed, and that's the wow factor of that event.
Yeah.
I would say that's wrong. When you have a, you know, a really big matchup though, where it's like, yeah, we don't know who's going to win this bout yeah. because we have two of the greatest, you know, coming together to fight for a title. I think that's sport. That's mm-hmm. competition, right?
Yeah.
But unfortunately you don't see that very often in professional yeah. boxing.
So. Well, and Mayweather is like a very defensive boxer too. Mm-hmm. Like when you watch yeah. Mayweather, it's not like, I wouldn't say it's like very spectacle-ish of a fight in general, but
yeah. But see, it's funny because like for someone like me, if I watch someone like Mayweather, I'm like, I don't know how he doesn't get hit. And so yeah. it's like, but I probably appreciate like the technique of it yeah. more than somebody else does. So
yeah.
Did you guys ever see this as a tangent? But did you guys ever see that commercial with Floyd Mayweather? I can't remember who it was for the commercial, but it was talking about like Floyd Mayweather has the fastest hands on earth or whatever. And the commercial was Floyd Mayweather like punching as quickly as possible into the camera.
And you can't even see it or something.
It was like the most amazing thing. Like yeah. his hands are just absolutely yeah. flying from punch to punch. It's unbelievable. Y'all should look it up and watch it. It's incredible. Yeah. yeah so really interesting. Anyway, I thought that was interesting snippet.
Yeah, gosh, it's such a gray area to me, and I want to kind of figure out like where do we draw the line, like because clearly we can. I think at the point like we're not saying boxing or you know any of these combat sports that we've listed so far are inherently wrong, right? Circumstances could make them wrong if they're making a spectacle of sin, if they're causing grave bodily harm, kind of intentionally, but I think clearly we can conceive of sports that would be intrinsically wrong. Gladiator games, right? Fight to the death. Clearly that would be wrong, right? Yeah. Cockfighting, right? Like dogfighting. Like clearly, right. like there's a universal moral stigma against some of these things.
Yeah. yeah. And again, those two things are perfect examples of how the object of the quote unquote sport is to inflict pain. That's the object of it.
Well, so, not just that, but like death.
Death.
Right?
Yeah. Inflict pain. Yeah. Probably death. Yeah. Painful.
I think it's still unclear to me whether in some like in professional boxing or UFC if the object is, the object still seems to me to be to inflict pain at that high level where it's televised, where there's all the money in it. It still seems to me that the object is oriented towards, maybe you don't want, maybe it's not about the pain, but it's about doing serious damage to another human being.
You want to go?
Yeah. I would still say that I honestly think it's a case by case basis. I think there's here's another situation where it's weird. Is this morally wrong or not? About a year ago, the professional boxer Anthony Joshua held 3 of the world boxing heavyweight titles, and he had a matchup to continue holding his title. I forget what the rules are, but it's like every so many years you have to defend it. And so he boxes this dude who's half his height, overweight, doesn't have, and I forget the guy's name, but it was very obviously set up to be Anthony Joshua's going to win. Mm-hmm. So going to that, here we have, an object and intention that you could argue are sinful, because this guy's going in, he's probably going to get knocked out, mm-hmm. and everybody's going to rejoice.
Yeah.
Well, the shorter, overweight dude ended up beating the crap out of him and won. And it was this really epic underdog story. Yeah. And the guy had this really awesome story where his whole boxing career, he had been this underdog, and then he finally got to this, this level and proved everybody wrong.
Yeah.
And so I'm is Anthony Joshua in the wrong there? Maybe, but mm-hmm. I really think it's a case by case basis. And you could argue that even in individual matches, specifically in boxing, you have cases where the object is sinful and the intention is sinful, or neither are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And back to the morality of the viewer too. I mean, so if a viewer in my mind is focused on, if they're really interested in watching, a boxing match on TV because they want to know legitimately who's going to win between boxer A and boxer B in 12 rounds over 3 minutes per round, whatever. They're interested in the point system. They're interested in how the judges are going to vote. That seems to be focused on the sport in my mind. It still seems to be focused on what the actual purpose of the sport is. I will suggest that maybe a large portion of viewers are this second version, though, where I'm going to the bar, I'm drinking my beer, and I'm cheering with my friends every time it looks like one of the boxers gets wobbly.
Yeah.
That
and you want to see the knockout.
That's right.
You want to see the
everybody cheering. The bar gets loud. The final punch comes. Oh, everybody starts cheering. Oh. That seems immoral to me. That seems immoral. Yeah. It's about the violence.
Well, here's the crazy thing about that too is that can feel like you have a similar reaction in a baseball game or a soccer game in big moments, right? So we're taking this really gruesome thing and celebrating it as if it's normal. Right. And to me, that's kind of a sly evil there. Right. Of we're going to take extreme violence and glorify it to the point that it's normal. And I think that's at the very least, a dangerous thing to do.
Yeah.
From a viewer's perspective. So I don't know. I'm still a little shaky. I guess I want to, because we are running out of time here, I want to, while we have D-Stad, I want you to speak into maybe just a little bit about, you've obviously seen some tremendous good that's come from participating in combat sport. And, but maybe also any sort of tension that's there, of any, and one of the things we didn't really get into is can sports have the ability to cultivate vice, right? I think a lot of sports, depending on the way in which you go about it, you can approach it in a vicious way or a virtuous way, right? So do you, one, the good that's there, and then two, because I think we agree that boxing as a sport, especially at the amateur level, is not inherently wrong. But what potential risks risks against virtue or potential to cultivate vice is there in boxing that maybe there isn't in soccer or baseball?
Yeah, yeah. And so, overwhelmingly, I think there's a lot of good in boxing. But when you go into a boxing gym, a legit boxing gym that's got a ring that people are going to get in training, is there tension present? obviously you have a bunch of dudes, you know, getting ready to go punch each other. I don't care whether you're doing it at full fight speed or, you know, training for technique. Obviously there's going to be tension there.
And by tension, you mean testosterone, right?
Yeah. and I mean, that's part of the sport. That's also part of any sport, I think. But one of the things that, you know, you have to learn and was part of like kind of our vetting process for who we allowed onto the team or not is that there is a certain maturity level that has to come with being in the ring. And if you let someone into the ring who doesn't have a good level of maturity and respect for the other person they're getting in the ring with, that can be a very dangerous situation. And so for somebody who I guess is already inclined towards vice, a combat sport may not be the best place to put them.
Yeah.
On the other, you know, on the flip side of that, though, you know, you look at like I look a lot of the people that were at our boxing gym, and I mean, there are plenty of professional boxers who have also shared this story that if it weren't for a sport like boxing or for, you know, MMA, whatever, you know, where would they be today? They might be out on the streets. They might have joined a gang, you know? Yeah. And so it's like, you know, you could also look at, you know, is it better to have a controlled release, I guess you could say, of aggression in a, you know, mandated environment versus being out on the street? And so you definitely get quite a few characters in the ring, and we would have events where we would let anybody from the boxing club come and try sparring, you know, and sometimes that got interesting because we'd have like a kid come along and they would be real hot-headed and they would obviously just wanted to get in the ring and and beat up on a bunch of people, and they would either get put in their place because they didn't have as much, you know, experience as somebody who they were going up against, or they would just get asked to leave, you know, if they were causing harm to others. So stuff like that does happen, but I would say by and large, at least in my experience with it, our organization that put on, you know, the training and whatnot didn't wanted to avoid that. So
I definitely don't want to in this conversation, I don't want to lose sight of the good that is in martial arts. You know, I think if I had the opportunity to visit a charter school run by a Catholic organization, Seton, in New York, in the Bronx. And we're talking very inner city, very poor. And they, instead of PE, they had a martial arts class. They had a full-time sensei who just taught. Yeah, that was their physical education. And I was telling my friend John, the fighter, about this, and he said, he's like, that sounds amazing. That's like my dream job. Like, it's to be like just like a full-time sensei and just teach kids. Like, he wants to open his own gym and just work with kids. And, you know, because for him, it's about the confidence that it instills in kids. It's about, there's a ton of virtues. I'm sure he could talk more and you could talk all day about that. Like, ultimately, most martial arts are self-defense kind of oriented anyway. I think boxing, especially at the high levels, UFC, these are kind of exceptions, I'd say, ultimately, to the general idea of combat sports, which really are self-defense oriented. I don't want to lose sight of that in this conversation. I think we are talking about the extreme end of combat sports, and there are issues there. But there are tremendous goods in combat sports, and I don't want to lose sight of that in this, or our listeners especially, to lose sight of that in this conversation. All right, final thoughts. Is boxing a sin?
No, not inherently.
All right, D-Stad?
I would agree. I do not think.
What if he came out and said yes right now?
Yes, I was engaged in sin. No. No, I mean, I think what I'll just, you know, wrap up with is just, if I have to sum up my own experience with the sport, you know, as a whole, boxing is probably the most difficult thing I've ever done physically. And like what I mean by that is, you know, the physical shape and conditioning and, you know, watching your diet and whatnot that you have to do within the sport is, I would say, more extreme than other sports. When you start talking about making weight for a fight, you know, and then training your body, you know, strength wise and cardio wise to be able to participate in a fight. 3 2-minute rounds doesn't sound like a lot of time. 6 minutes of boxing. It's exhausting. It is exhausting. And anybody who's done it recognizes that, and the only way I know how to, you know, say that is if you've done it, you know. So being able to say that I participated in something that required that amount of discipline, and I pushed myself to do something that like not many people can say they've done, is something that's really cool, you know. And whenever I got out of a sparring match, this is another thing that I think a lot of, you know, people who engage in combat sports relate to, you know, when you're going at it, you know, in a match, whether that's a sanctioned fight or a sparring match, you know, you're definitely on the offensive and there's aggression there. But when you get done with the match, like you just have the utmost respect for the other person at the under end of the ring. And, you know, we would get done sparring and we all go out to eat afterwards. And some of my closest friends in college were the people I was, you know, punching 20 minutes earlier. And it was just, it was such a cool, unique relationship to have with, you know, the other folks on the team. It teaches you a lot of respect because, I mean, again, it's a very unique environment to be like, I'm getting in the ring and I'm going to be on the offensive against this other person. But I also care about them and I want them to get better the same as I'm getting better. That takes a lot of maturity and humility to be able to do that. So I think it did a lot of good for me. And I think it really comes down to intent and circumstance.
Nick, any final thoughts?
No.
All right. Great. Classic.
Good stuff.
Classic. Well, this is, oh man, these are the conversations I love. Like, I just love talking about these things. And yeah, maybe y'all listeners, why don't you go, like, next time you're out at a bar with some friends, just bring it up. Just out of nowhere, why don't you go say, do you think boxing is a sin? And then you can say all these points from D-Stad and just have at it. Go for it. I think it's a really fruitful. I'm sure you'll have insights that we haven't touched on as well. So go have those conversations.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're right.
We appreciate you. Check is in the mail soon.
No, seriously, thank you so much, D-Stad. This is a great conversation. We truly couldn't have had it without you. We joked, but no, we could not have had it without you. And by the way, think about D-Stad. He looks like a boxer. He's wearing a Alabama boxing shirt right now. He's got a pretty sweet stash. Not Top Gun inspired. That's right. Much longer than your Top Gun has been out.
Check it out on the Instagram post. So we just did a reel. Oh, wait a minute. Reels are only 24 hours long, right? I'm still trying to learn this Instagram.
Go back in time and look at our Instagram.
That's right.
Instagram, you would have post.
Just save it and repost it on whenever you want to.
Yeah, that's true. We can repost.
Oh, fair enough. All right. Yeah. Anyway.
There you go. All right. Well, this has been our conversation on Colloquium. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.
You can say amen, Daniel.
Amen.